Amen. Thank you, Brother Matt. Let's all stand, if you would. Matthew chapter number 5. Appreciate that special tonight. Appreciate Brother Jimmy leading psalms as well. Appreciate those guys. You know, whenever I need someone to psalm lead, I'm half tempted to just go through the church directory and just text the random person just to see what happens. But I kind of like what I do, so I want to keep doing that. But it's tempting, though. But I appreciate Brother Humble leading psalms for us. We're in Matthew chapter number 5 tonight. We're going to read three verses to get us started. I did a lesson two Sundays ago for the college and career class out of the same passage. It's a different lesson, so I'm sure they all remember it in great detail. Not. But it is a different message, so don't tune out on me, okay? So Matthew chapter number 5, familiar passage. We'll be doing reading in verse number 14 here. Matthew 5, 14. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we'll be based out of this passage primarily, but have your Bibles ready. We'll do a little bit of turning. And we'll go from there. So the title of the message for tonight is Be Mindful of Your Light. Be Mindful of Your Light. So we'll talk about that, what that means here in a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house tonight. We thank you for your word and for the opportunity and the blessing it is to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church. And I do pray that you be with the services tonight. We thank you for the songs. We thank you for the fellowship that's already happened. But now I pray that you'd help us to turn our attention to your word. Help us to be solely focused on what you might have for us tonight. We thank you for the visitors you brought our way as well. And I just pray that you bless them for being here as well. Love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Be mindful of your light. Now, I've been in this passage for a little while now. I did the college and career class, kind of the background of it and all that. But I came back across Matthew 5. Sometime back 2-3 weeks ago, I think it was, I was actually studying something else, and I wound up here. And the longer I thought about it, the longer I kind of chewed it over, I guess, if you want to put it that way, the more things the Lord started showing me, things in my own life that I need to fix to be made better for Him. And I think that's something we should all be doing as part of our daily life, because none of us have arrived, right? None of us have reached the point to where we can... To where when we read the Bible, we just don't get anything out of it. None of us should have hit that point yet, and I don't think that we will anytime soon. And so as I was considering these things, the Lord had brought out some thoughts in my own life that I need to fix. And it's not my message, but I kind of want to just kind of hit this as we're going by. The first thought that I had, again, this is the pre-message, if you will, but the first thought that I had was about the fact that, you know, being a light isn't meant to be something that you turn on and off. You know, as we serve God, you know, a lot of us are good about shedding a lot of light when we're here. You know, we're very good about when we come to church, we turn the light switch on and we become this bright, radiant light. But I wonder how bright our light is the other 6 days out of the week. You know, I wonder if the light that I am at Calvary Baptist Church is the same light that my coworkers would say that I am, or my neighbors would say that I am, or my family, or whatever situation you're in your life. That's the thought, and that was the lesson to the college and career class was don't be a light switch, be a light. And so as I was considering that, I kind of got a little bit deeper down this passage, and I just want to bring out some simple thoughts tonight. You know, many of us have sat under preaching for a long time. Many of us have read this passage many times. But like I said, none of us have arrived, right? None of us have heard something and completely grasped it and gotten everything that it's worth. I hope that makes sense to everyone. So again, our title for tonight is Be Mindful of Your Light. Now, I want to start here. I want to walk into this, okay? Because we have some people who are visiting with us. And welcome to you, by the way, if you're visiting. I would encourage you to come back and hear my pastor preach for sure. But the moment that we get saved, we are now designated to be a light. You understand that? The Bible tells us that we are born in spiritual darkness, but once we see the light through the gospel and accept Christ as Savior, we are now a light for Him. Now, there may be some people here. I don't know. Maybe there's someone who doesn't understand what that means, and that's okay. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will, please. Like I said, a little bit of turning tonight, just to keep you awake and keep you going here. I know Wednesdays can be a little bit hit and miss. Our flesh is weak, isn't it? Unfortunately for you all, I work nights. So good morning to you all. I hope that you are ready because I have hours to spend. I work 10-hour shifts, so I'm good for at least 10 hours. So I hope, no, just kidding. Some of you are getting ready to, your eye on the door. Don't worry, we will finish on time. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so this concept of a light, you know, we, at some point in our lives, we are faced with an important question, okay? And it doesn't have to do with the word light, it has to do with my spiritual condition. It has to deal with the fact that, why am I here? Right? That's a common question that we hear, right? What is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Because there are a lot of people out there with the wrong answers. So how about we turn to the one who created us and see what he has to say? And so in answer to this question, as we're walking up to our title here, we are faced with the gospel. And the gospel just simply means good news. And it's defined here in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. Paul is writing here. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So he's writing to believers here in the church at Corinth. Verse number 2. It says, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Hey, that's the gospel. Amen. Easy enough, right? Easy enough. And so if I am one of those people that Paul described, if I am someone who has heard this message and have accepted that message, I am now gloriously saved. And there is nothing that can take that away from me. There is not a circumstance or a difficulty or a person who can stand in between me and my relationship with God. The only thing that can stand in between me and God now is me. Because he has saved me. Because he did the work. And not only did he do the work, but the verses say twice, according to the Scriptures. Jesus didn't just go off with a half-baked plan. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, the way he was supposed to do it. And if I do the same thing, then I'm going to be just fine. And Brother Matt sang a song, "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be." That's a promise that we had to look forward to. But while we're here on earth, we are designated to be a light. We're designated to be a light. Because if I have accepted the gospel, if I have followed 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, if I've done everything God's way, my life now has a very different purpose than it did prior to that. You know, before I got saved, I was only 13, but I had, started to formulate some plans with my life, and many of you have heard this before, but standing before a church was not one of them, just so you know. Before I got saved, I wanted to do my own thing. I had my own plans. I wanted to graduate high school and go to college and just kind of see where it goes. I was only 13, so I didn't have a lot of plans, and the plans I had weren't good ones. And so as I was, before I was saved, this was not included in that. But once I got saved, I started to grow in him. And the more that I grew, the more I realized that it's not about me. It's not about what I want to do. It's not about the talents that I can spend for myself. Instead, my life now has a different purpose, a different meaning. So, accepting the gospel means that we are a light. Now, in our passage in Matthew chapter 5, go ahead and head back there if you would. Matthew chapter 5. We see, in the context here, in verse number 1, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And it goes on for a couple chapters, and we're not gonna get even close to, into that. But, this is one long running sermon, that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. It says, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." Jesus here teaching to those who have accepted the gospel. They are followers of Christ. Okay? So all the statements that he makes here are directed toward those who are following him. Are you tracking with me so far? Are we all okay? And so as Christ is, as he expounds, I guess if you want to put it that way, as he begins to further explain what he means, and who they are and what they're doing, keep in mind that these people are followers of him. Okay? So they are followers of Christ. Now, since I am a light, if you've accepted Christ, say amen. Okay, so if you have accepted Christ as I have, since I am now a light for the Savior, I think that we should be mindful of what kind of light we are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The Savior who gave of himself for me, the Savior who called me to a better life, who has given me more blessings than I can count, I think I ought to be careful about what kind of light I am for him.
Yeah.
Because whether you realize it or not, you are a light.
Yes.
I didn't say that you're the best light or that I'm the best light, but we are a light.
That's right.
If you're saved, you're a light.
Right.
And we're going to look at this biblically based here in just a moment, but just kind of setting the stage here. Being a light for God does not necessarily mean that I'm the best or the most gifted out there. In fact, my flesh would be very content being a mediocre light for God. Because being a mediocre light for God requires very little of me. We have to be mindful of our light. So, let's look at some thoughts here, okay? So, track with me. So, number one, the first thought that I have for you is, I've already made this statement once, and I'm going to do it again. You are a light. That's our first thought here. You are a light. Look in verse number 14 with me. Ye are the light of the world. Can we say that together? Everyone with me? Let's say that phrase together. Here we go. Ye are the light of the world. Does that sound like a question to you? Does that sound like Jesus asking their opinion as to whether or not they wanted to be a light? This is a definitive statement that Jesus told his followers. They were not asked if they wanted to be a light. Rather, they were reminded that they are one. And they could have been upset about this. They could have gotten sorrowful about it. I don't know the reactions there. I'm assuming that they were all okay with it, but you never know. Maybe there's someone in the crowd who said, maybe I don't want to be a light. Well, you've accepted Christ. You made the decision that I need God more than these other things. So now you have a responsibility. And this is the aspect of Christianity that people don't want to talk about today. People want to come to church with no strings attached and no obligations and turn around and walk out the same way they came. But following Jesus isn't about that. Are you with me? Being a Christian means that I now have some responsibilities. We're going to talk about some of those. But following Christ is not meant to be a safety net. It's not meant to be something that I can just walk away from whenever I want. Following Christ is a lifestyle change. He saved me from my sins. He brought me out of the person that I was. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that I'm a new creature. If I'm a new creature, don't you think that comes with new desires? Don't you think that comes with new responsibilities? Following Christ is much more than something that I can just, like I said, just walk away from. Something that I can just kind of come and go as I please. And that's one of the things that's so dangerous about our modern church movement we see today. People come and go as they want. They show up once a month and they put in their time for Jesus and they're fine for another 30 days. That's not how the Christian life is meant to be lived. It comes with a responsibility. It comes with a duty. It comes with accountability. These are things that no one wants to talk about. We do here. I understand that. I think I'm amongst friends. I may not be. I'll find out after service, I'm sure. But I think that most of us can understand this. We understand the fact that if God is going to give his all for me, then I in turn should do what? Give my all for him. And what that means is much more than just coming to church and leaving the same way that I came. You are a light. It's a human tendency. We all want options and we want the chance to do our own thing. But as I said, it's not necessarily what I want to do. I am a light for him. The Christian life is meant to be lived intentional. It's meant to be built upon the principles of God's Word, and it's meant to be dependent on the leadership of the Spirit of God in my life. Everybody okay so far? We all still friends? So let's look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 28. Go ahead and turn there with me. The Lord Jesus Christ addresses this when he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, who were not his friend. But Matthew chapter 23, verse 28, it lays out our natural condition with what Jesus said here. Jesus speaking, Matthew 23, 28, it says, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." It's easy to act like we are something that we are not. But listen, when I accepted Christ, I also accepted the fact that I should no longer settle for being a fake or a hypocrite. We all want people in our lives who are genuine. We all want genuine friends. We all want people who genuinely care about us. We all want real support in our lives, don't we? Am I the only one? We all want these things in our lives. We need these things in our lives. We need a community. We need a family who is supportive of us. We need these things. We crave the genuine, the authentic. And yet, we take the very opposite approach and we settle for it in our Christian life, where we're willing to accept all of these blessings from God, but forsake our duty to be a light. It's easy to do. I have taken upon myself the calling of being a light to the world around me, as Matthew 5:14 says. The moment I accepted Christ, I am and you are a light. With me so far? So let's look at number two here. So first, you're a light. Pretty simple. Number two, your light is supposed to be bright. Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world." Second sentence there says, "A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." Okay? It cannot be hid. No one has a use for a dull light. Nobody likes them. You ever gone camping and had a flashlight where the battery's about dead? Isn't that the worst? You ever have a power outage at your house and you can't find a flashlight, and the one you can find is 40 years old and the battery's starting to corrode, but it's got just enough light to where you don't die falling down the stairs, something like that. I'm not talking from experience, but if I was, that's what I would say. And so we have no use for a dull light. The moment that we are in need of a light and don't have one, or we do have one that we don't like, we want to replace it. Right? You understand that as a light, we should never settle for being one that sheds as little light as possible. In my Christian life, I should not be content with being a dull light, a dim light. Here a couple weeks back, we were headed back from Florida, and we came across a Bucky's gas station. Anybody ever been to a Bucky's before? It was middle of the afternoon, and all the lights were on, and you could still see the lights. It was the craziest thing ever. The amount of lighting they have in that place is just unreal, because there's like 100 and something gas pumps, and it's unreal. If you've never been, I recommend it. A bit of a road trip to get there, but if you happen to pass by one, I would recommend going in for sure. But like I said, it was middle of the afternoon, and the lights were still as bright as ever. Now, I could only imagine how much brighter that would be at night, But the builders and the owners of Bucky's gas station did not settle for candles to advertise where they are, right? We didn't pull up and there was all these candles in place of the super bright LED lights. They wanted it to be as obvious as possible, right? They want to advertise. They want to bring that business in. They went out and they got an insane amount of lights that would let everyone in a couple mile radius know where they were. Too often we're afraid to let our light shine brightly. We allow the perception or the fear or the words of others to dim our lights for God. Yeah. Let's look over at Luke chapter 24, if you would please. Luke chapter 24. Jesus has something to say about this. In Luke 24, verses 46 to 48, Jesus speaking, he says, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Key phrases there, being preached in his name among all nations. And ye are witnesses. Listen, never let the brightness of your light be affected by the turmoil and the winds around you. It's easy to let your light fade, especially when you're the only light. But if you are in that situation where you're the only light, you're the only Christian, you're the only saved person in at your workplace or in your family, you have an opportunity to shine your light. And listen, even if you're not as bold as the Apostle Paul, but you're confident, that light still shines. I'm not saying you have to bust down the door to your family reunion with a 3-point outline about why they're all going to hell. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that your light can shine brightly there without an alliterated sermon. And I would venture to say that your lifestyle speaks more than a sermon that you could preach. Let your light be bright. Number three. This kind of goes hand in hand with the other one. But your light is supposed to be obvious. Here's what I mean. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 15. Back in our text here. Matthew 5:15. He says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." The first part of verse number 15 gives us a simple yet powerful illustration about light. Once the light is lit, it is simply supposed to do its duty. The light is to not only shine brightly, but light the way in the place that it belongs. You understand, in verse number 15, Jesus is saying that light doesn't belong under the bushel. The light does not belong at that place. The light belongs on the candlestick. All you need your light to do after it is lit is to set in the place where you set it and shine. Agreed? I don't need my light to do the dishes. I don't need my light to mow the yard, although that would be pretty cool. I just need my light. When I turn that light switch on in my house, I just need the light to be there. That's all I asked. As long as that's happening, we're a happy household. You understand that God has placed you on a candlestick. God has placed me on a candlestick. And it is my job to not hide under a bushel. It's very difficult for me not to sing this little light of mine right now. It is our job to be an obvious light in the place where God has placed us. A light is simply supposed to operate in a manner that it was designed for. And you and I, as lights for God, have been placed in a designated spot and in designated roles in our lives. We are not doing our duty as God's light if when we go to fulfill the roles God has given us, no one even knows that we are a light. Did you catch that? The roles and responsibilities God has placed me into my life. If everyone around me would be shocked to find out that I'm a Christian, I have not done my duty. If I laugh at the same jokes as the other guys at work, I'm not doing my duty. We have to be careful and make sure that our light's obvious. Instead of apologizing for missing out of an activity that serves alcohol and blaming God for it, let your light shine. "Oh, guys, I wish I could go out, but, you know, can't really do it. Got this whole Christianity thing going on." Not the correct response. Listen, instead of bowing your head and shying away from inviting someone to church, let your light shine. Got a little quiet in here. Y'all okay? When God has placed someone in your life, and they don't have a church they're going to, if they don't have a testimony of salvation, You're the light.
That's right. Good.
You're the guy. You're the lady. It's your duty. It's my duty to ensure that they know that we are a light. It's supposed to be obvious. We have to learn that since we are a light for God, we might as well just be a good one. Don't you agree? Hebrews 13:6 says it this way, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Boldly say. As a light that is living an obvious life for God, I have to be bold about it. There's a difference between being bold and being aggressive, okay? But you can be bold about it. You can say, yep, I'm going to church on Sunday. I'd love to see you there. These things resonate with people. No one else is going to tell them. Can we should just start living under the assumption that no one else is going to tell them. Not a lot of churches like ours anymore. Not a lot of churches who love people enough to tell them the gospel. Not a lot of churches who are willing to step out and to do something counterculture. So moving forward, how about we just assume that we're the only people? When you go to work, assume you're the only person. Most of us probably are. So our light needs to be obvious. Number four, if you're still with me, say amen. Okay. I don't think we've lost anyone yet. So, number four. Your light is supposed to light the way for others. It says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Your light is not just for you. Your light is so that others see you. And all the introverts in the building just had a heart attack. It's okay. It's okay for people to see you. It's okay for people to know your name. It's all right. They're probably not going to kill you. It'll be fine. And if they do kill you, how beautiful heaven must be, right? But listen, your light is supposed to light the way for others. You're not a light just for the sake of being one. Jesus, in his masterful illustration here, reminds us that a light is not just for the benefit of looking pretty on a candlestick. A light has a function, and that function is to provide light for those that are in the house. There are people that are in your house, probably literally, but I'm talking more, you know, our scope of influence here. By being a light that simply does what it is supposed to do in the place that it belongs, the effects of it are without limit. You give God someone who's willing to be a light and all that it entails, and miraculous things can happen. We study people in past history, American history and otherwise, who simply surrender to God. A preacher who is simply willing to preach the message. And we saw revivals take place. We saw churches planted all across America and all across the world. Just because men and women were simply willing to be a light. Give God a light and see how bright it shines. See how far it goes. But we're so hesitant to do that. We're so hesitant to be the brightest light possible. I wonder how many of us are as bold and as confident and as passionate outside of this building as we are inside this building. You know, some of us may be a light that draws in hundreds of others, but some of us may be a light that just attracts one. The numbers do not matter. What matters is, am I the light that God wanted me to be? That's what matters. So be the light that God would have you to be. Simple, right? But there's a lot entailed in that. If I'm going to be the light that God wants me to be, I need to be confident in my calling. I need to be confident in the fact that God has given me a lot, much more than I could have ever asked for. And in response, I have some responsibilities to uphold. I have the duty and the privilege of being a light for Him. And if you're saved, you do too. Because there's someone who needs your light. Your light is supposed to give light to others, as is demonstrated in verse number 15 there. So, in conclusion here, in verse number 16, Jesus summarizes his own sermon within a sermon. Okay, so let's look at this and we'll quit. Your light should do three things. Okay, your light should do three things. Number one, your light should be so bright that it blinds others. Here's what it says in verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men. The word shine means to radiantly beam. You ever been driving on the highway and someone comes barreling up behind you with those new headlights they have now? You ever seen that before? Okay, so I drive a 2001 Honda Civic. Okay, it is affectionately named the Rust Bucket. Because my headlights are basically candlesticks. And it sits so low to the ground that anybody who is half an inch taller than me, their lights hit right in that rearview mirror and come right back to my eyes. Okay? It's a blessing of all blessings. But anyway, so this illustration pours out deeply to me. Because every time someone comes up behind me on the highway and their bright lights are hitting that rearview mirror, I can't even see in front of me. Right? I can't see anything to get out of a... Our life should be see me coming. See my light coming. And force them to make a decision. Amen. You can either keep going down that dark road, or you can turn toward the light. Our life, our example should be that bright. Well, Brother Mason, I'm not called to preach like you are. Who cares? You're still a light. My role and responsibility might be different than yours, but I'm just as much of a light as you are. All of us who are saved, if you're saved, say amen. Amen. You're a light. So be a light. Be a bright one. Be an annoying one. Radiantly beam. Let people know that you are a light. And hey, while we're talking about it, let's back it up too. Don't just tell people you're a light. Show them. And that deals with number two. Number two, be an example of good works. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That's all people can see, isn't it? Your good works. But you understand that the people around you, they are watching your words and your actions together. They're not independent of each other. Your words and your actions, that's all people can measure you by. They can't see in your heart. You can't see in theirs. But what they can do is basic math, where they say, their words say this, their actions... When you go to... Like, this guy, or I like him. Okay? If you have a neighbor who says nice things to you, but they do mean things to you, that equals bad neighbor. Okay? Did you follow the math equation there? We live in a time where there are no absolutes, okay? But this is an absolute, okay? We all do math. We all do societal math. Where we look at someone and we say, your words say this, your actions say this, that equals this. With me? Your coworkers are doing that to you. Your neighbors are doing that to you. Your family, your friends, everyone you come in contact with has done some math on you. So I'd be awful curious to know how that equation comes out. I'd be awful curious to know if all of us in this room size up to how we're supposed to. My words say this, my actions demonstrate this, therefore I am a good light, I am a bright light, or I am a dim light. Did you track with me? We all okay? We all do this. We do it to other people, they do it to us. So Jesus says, since it's inevitable that people are going to look at your works, let your light shine so bright that they see your good works. Why would we want them to see our good works? Number three, so that we can be reflective of our Heavenly Father. Jesus says, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Confidently say that all of us like a pat on the back. All of us like an attaboy. Hey, I noticed you did that. Sure appreciate you. We all like that, don't we? We all like to get a card that says, you know, appreciate, you know, you doing this, you doing that. Appreciate who you are. Appreciate, appreciate, appreciate. We all like that. But the Christian life is not about an attaboy. The Christian life is about being a reflective light for my Heavenly Father. In whatever role you're placed in. Nothing about being a light is for itself. Okay? None of the lights in here are designed just to simply look pretty. They are designed to shed light. Every time we turn that light switch on, in the back or in the front here, every time we do that, we're doing that so that others may see the way. Right? Our lives are very much the same. As a light, my job is to be a reflection of my Heavenly Father. And as I grow in Him, the more equipped my light should be to be brighter. Does that make sense? Let's try this another way. So when you get saved, maybe you start off as one of those little tea lights. You ever seen those before? Super tiny. The ladies use them sometimes for downstairs for a decoration. Okay? Super tiny. But as you begin to grow in Christ, as you sit under preaching, and you do your devotions, and you pray, and you begin to seek the Lord, your light gets bigger. Can I use that illustration? Is that okay with you all? Yeah. And as I grow in Christ, my light is supposed to get brighter and bigger. My knowledge of Him goes deeper. Therefore, my light shines brighter. It's kind of like the difference between, you know, a 50-watt bulb and a electricians, don't fault me for this, but you know, if you go from a 50-watt light bulb to a 200-watt light bulb, if that's a thing, I don't know, I'm not an electrician. But that's probably a pretty big difference, right? Electricians in the building, can you help me out? Okay, so that's probably a big difference. And light should be. Measured up to the standard of Christ. So listen, I think we ought to be mindful of our light. I think we ought to be mindful of the type of light that I am for my Savior. Jesus started off this little three-verse illustration in the midst of a pretty long sermon. This little three-verse illustration here about a light, something everyone can relate to. He starts it off with a definitive statement. Ye are the light of the world. We're so quick to accept all of the benefits and all of the good things from God whilst neglecting our responsibility to be a light. That's not a recipe for the successful Christian life. We have to be doing everything that we can do every day to be the light that we should be. In this church, if you're a member of Calvary Baptist Church, say amen. We are a church that serves. We are a church that gives. We are a church that has a lot of good qualities. But the concern for me in my life, I'm not going to talk for you, but I'll speak for me. My concern is that I'm not the light out there that I am in here. My concern is that in my daily life, I'm not paying as much of attention as the light that I am when I'm at work as opposed to when I'm here. Because in here, it's a little bit easier to feed off of each other's energy. Right? It's easier to feed off of someone else's light and get a little jump start. But do we have that same passion and that same zeal and that same brightness throughout our day and throughout our week? Sundays are not designed to demonstrate to God how good of a light that I am. Everyone in my life should see the same light that you are here as you are out there. So listen, let's be mindful of our light, because he deserves the best. As our custom is,